Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. What do you think of when you hear the word crewmate? Maybe you think of a pirate ship and a group of pirate crewmates searching for buried treasures. Or maybe you think of a cleaning crew at your school where kids work together to make the community a better place. Today's guest has a lot of experience being a crewmate, and she says that her time as part of a very special crew taught her that we're all crewmates. Crewmates on planet Earth.
For me, the ultimate lesson in it all was, how do we accept our role as crewmates and not passengers on Spaceship Earth? If we can live like crewmates on this machine in space and acknowledge the health and well-being of all of our crewmates on this machine in space, we absolutely need to be doing that on our planetary spaceship.
This is Nicole Stott. She's a retired NASA astronaut, and she's been to the International Space Station on two different missions. Now, we're going to talk about Nicole's very important idea about being crewmates on Spaceship Earth. But first, I want to hear all about what it's like to fly on a space shuttle and live on a space station. Listen to Nicole describe what it's like to be on a shuttle as it blasts off.
You've been sitting in that place, laying on your back, waiting to go for a couple hours now, just really quietly, peacefully, maybe even napping while you're waiting to go. And then out of nowhere, it seems, comes this energy from those boosters.
Can you imagine that? Before blastoff, astronauts have to sit in their chairs for hours as the rocket ship is prepared for launch. Then their resting and snoozing time is interrupted by the force of the rockets.
I mean, on the shuttle, it was like 7 million pounds of exploding rocket stuff underneath you. It takes a lot. The Earth has this hold on us. It doesn't want to let go, you know, so it takes a lot to kind of hurl us out into space and get us orbiting the planet. Your arms, if you relax, want to float up kind of in this, my son called it like space zombie position. Just everything wants to float.
After floating through the orbit, Nicole and the other astronauts arrived at the International Space Station. You might wonder what it was like stepping onto the International Space Station for the first time. Nicole says it wasn't like stepping at all.
I was thinking, oh, what's it going to be like to step inside this new place that I'm going to call home? And then I realized, wow, I'm not stepping at all. I'm floating, I'm flying, I'm just moving freely into this place, which in comparison to the inside of the space shuttle, which in the grand scheme of things is a large volume for a spacecraft, oh my gosh, it's like this whole place just opened up around me.
The inside of the space shuttle was about the size of a school bus. The International Space Station was much, much larger.
The space station is ginormous inside. We can float from one to the other, from one end of the space station to the other. They equate the size of the like living volume on the space station to like that of a big six-bedroom house. But the bonus that we get on the space station, in space, we're floating. So we get to use the whole volume of that place. So I never felt confined on the space station. It always very much felt open and liberating, even, I think, is a word I like to use about how you can move around this place.
In addition to all the liberating floating, the International Space Station comes with one of the greatest views of all time. A glimpse of planet Earth. Nicole and the other astronauts could float over to the window and look out to see the whole planet underneath them. Nicole's first look at Earth from the International Space Station window is a special memory, even though she doesn't remember exactly which part of the world she was looking at.
You are overwhelmed by the beauty of it, the clarity of it, the color of it. I mean, all of it was like the brightest thing I'd ever seen with all the colors you know Earth to be. I don't remember where it was the first time when I floated up into one of those space shuttle windows and looked out. I do not remember where we were. I know there was water, but I was just so captivated by the color and the brightness that was just well beyond what I had even imagined.
Even though Nicole got to see this view out the window every day, she never got sick of it.
That sense of awe, that sense of wonder looking out that window, never dulled. It was always surprising, I don't know, there was just something new every time you experienced it. And I found I really had to, during the workday especially, kind of temper myself to say, okay, Nikki, you're going to go to that window. You've got a couple seconds, a couple minutes maybe to experience it, take a picture maybe, and then you need to move on because you're there to work.
That's right. Do you think that Nicole and all the other astronauts were sent up to space just to look through a window? Of course not. There was a lot of work that these astronauts had to do at the International Space Station.
Any area of science you can imagine is being studied. We are guinea pigs for being in that kind of environment where you float and you don't have load on your body, and they look at accelerated aging. We can look at things like osteoporosis and heart issues, stroking and vision in ways that you can't down here in a gravity environment. And the scientists love it because they can take gravity out of the equation and they can look at stuff in a whole new way.
So scientists are observing the astronauts and learning more about the human body and how we can help treat it when things go wrong. In addition to observing the astronauts, the scientists are also observing Earth from outer space.
Everything we're doing in space, we bring back to Earth in a way that is about observation of the planet as well. We have very purposeful instruments onboard the station that are measuring the vital signs of our planet and providing the scientists and the people who need it with the data they need to solve the most challenging planetary issues that we have. So, everything about space is bringing benefit back to Earth. There are instruments that can pretty much measure any characteristics of the planet you want. Ocean temperature, carbon dioxide, and the changes in ice structure on Earth.
It also just takes a lot of work to live on a space station without getting any fresh supplies or electricity from Earth.
The way we built that place, it is the best example of living off the grid that you can find. Those ginormous solar panels, we are collecting all the energy from that. I think at least 90% of the clean drinking water now is recycled water. It's not having to be sent from Earth anymore to space. And that same system has been brought back to Earth, modified in a way that places on Earth that never had clean drinking water before now can experience that as well, thanks to what we had to develop to go to space in cooperation with the scientists here on Earth.
Wow, astronauts must be super busy. Even with all of their experiments and the maintenance required to live on a space station, Nicole still found some time to relax and do something that she loves, watercolor.
It was absolutely one of the personal highlights of flying in space for me to be able to paint at night just a little bit. I painted a view of a place that I thought was really beautiful on Earth. When I looked through the window, it looked like somebody had reached a big paintbrush down already and painted a wave on the ocean. This tiny little chain of islands on the northern coast of Venezuela called Las Rocas. And as you can imagine, you can't float in front of the window and paint what you're seeing because, at 5 miles a second, it's going to be gone before you can get the brush to the paper. I was able to print out a picture of it and then just use that as my reference and painted a little bit every night. It wasn't necessarily more difficult. It was just different. And you have to learn that about everything you're doing up there, how you eat, how you float, how you wash your hair, do science. It's all a little bit different, but not necessarily more difficult. And so instead of a cup of water, because we don't have cups of water, I would dip my brush in this floating ball of water. And the little ball of water, it was kind of attracted to the end of the brush. It was so cool to watch. I'm dipping my brush in it and taking that down to the paint and watching how the water moved to the paint became this colored blob of water that then I had floating on the end of my brush, and learning that if I actually painted with the brush, if I touched the brush to the paper, the whole blob of colored water would just transfer to the paper. And so I had to figure out, okay, how far do I have to pull the brush off the paper to be able to actually drag the ball of water along the paper? It just was this really wonderful experience.
How incredible is that? Even in outer space, humans are creating art. Just like how she brought something she loved on Earth to outer space, Nicole brought back some important life lessons when she returned home to planet Earth after living at the space station. She learned one of those lessons when she saw her home, Florida, from the space station window.
I very quickly was like, okay, Florida is going to be out that window. I want to be in front of that window. I want to be taking pictures of Florida. And I had this idea in my mind that Florida was my home. I needed to see Florida, appreciate it from that place. And it was interesting to me how quickly, though, that transitioned to just appreciating the beauty of what I was seeing out the window, appreciating certainly Florida and its place on that planet I was seeing out the window. It was beautiful. And yet, I know from being here on the planet, too, that that swirling white, fluffy-looking hurricane that's moving across the ocean that looks so stunning through a space station window is anything but from down here on Earth. So kind of this contradiction in the way you can look at things and how you need to appreciate that. And it made me realize that Florida was part of a planet that's my home.
Seeing her home in Florida as part of the planet as a whole was life-changing for Nicole. She realized that the entire planet was her home, in the same way the International Space Station was her temporary home. On the space station, Nicole knew all about how to live as a crewmate, doing her part and caring about the other astronauts. But then she began to think about being a crewmate at home, a crewmate on planet Earth.
And that then extended to this idea of, oh my gosh, if we can live like crewmates on this machine in space, if we can appreciate all of what we need to do to sustain life in this place, and we can appreciate and acknowledge the health and well-being of all of our crewmates on this machine in space, we absolutely need to be doing that on our planetary spaceship. And that's what home is about to me. This planet is our home. And it's where we share existence with others. And then we need to acknowledge the existence of others when we're in that place. And I really think the simplest way to think about that is to be a crewmate and not a passenger.
I love that. So, what are some things you can do to be a crewmate on planet Earth? Can you help a fellow crewmate in need? Maybe do your part to keep our planet Earth spaceship healthy and clean. There are all sorts of things that we can do to be excellent crewmates on planet Earth. And I know that when we remember that we are crewmates and not just passengers, we can make the world a better place.
Spaceship Earth is what we do.
Now here's some great info for parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder. It's the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We have an entire episode devoted to Nicole Stott's time in space and the message that she has dedicated to sharing now that she's back on Earth. If you'd like to hear that full presentation, find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts and look for the episode titled Learn from Space: How to Be a Good Earthling. Constant Wonder has a rich array in store for you. Each episode is part of an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.